estimated to be $96.5 million construction. That doesn't include design fees and lots of other project costs. Escalate that just one year at just under $100 million. The Hirschler Building, if you study that, would...
So just so everybody knows, with regards to the state office building, that building we did level one and level two study on. I participated in that along with a number of other people that are in this room with regards to level one, level two. We were in the budget at the time was $4.4 million to do level three design of a state office building.
Not in there.
The governor vetoed.
I don't have
that $4.4 million and took that off the table. And so the project died on the vine, so to speak, at that point in time. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, yes, to reiterate, both those projects were funded for Level 3 design and revoked for different reasons by two different governors. The Hirschler Building, if you would build it today at 173,000 net assignable square feet, in 1981, when it was bid, it was $27.3 million. Inflation and escalation would make that $94.2 million today. So the capital project, I'm just going to skip ahead of that. I show this slide because you can see that the capital was built in three different phases. The first phase, a very visionary group of Wyomingans, began the construction of the Capitol well before we were even a state. The first two phases were designed as one project, and then they were completed in March, just before we became the 44th state in July of 1890. The last phase, the addition on the ends, the 1917 addition, which is the current chambers today, removed all of the historic fabric from the 1890 addition, and made the chambers in the 1917 edition. Here's a view of the Capitol looking from the northeast to the southwest. At one time, the Capitol was meant to be on the site, viewed as a sculpture, kind of all surrounded by green space. Some of the goals of this project involved restoring the character of that, of something approximately like this. This photo is sometime before the Supreme Court building was built, in the late 30s. Early 30s. As you all know, the Capitol has a lot of deterioration. I always refer to the Capitol as very photogenic because you don't see some of these flaws unless you're looking very closely. The stone is deteriorating significantly. This crack that is in the top left photograph was noticed when our level one and two design work was very early. The design team felt that that was a serious risk, and so they advised us to close the steps and install some netting. It's directly over the front steps below us. So we proceeded with a small emergency maintenance project to install some netting to keep that from falling on anyone and hurting anyone. As it turns out, when the contractor that showed up to install that netting did some cleanup, that stone, which was not original stone, it was a consolidation project that happened to the stone in 1997, came off in their hands. It was approximately 4 foot long, pretty large chunk, and was a serious danger to the people that visit our Capitol. You're also all aware of recent hailstorms in Cheyenne that have caused significant damage. The photo on the right is of the Capitol when it was scaffolded for the roof replacement project in 2000. Here are some things that you don't see. Our general services staff are very, very responsive, and when we have embolisms of the piping in the building, they work very quickly to try to repair and replace things, get things back into working order before anyone even notices. But we see some of the piping that's seriously deteriorated, some of the old crispy electrical wiring that really, truly is a danger to the building. We did some modeling of the existing facility. The top row is a simulation of a fire in the open space. The red simulates smoke. And smoke is generally what is the most dangerous occurrence when a fire happens. And you can see after only 4 minutes, a good portion of the building is already full of smoke. These are in 2 minute increments. Again, the top row is as the building is today. The bottom row simulates what happens if we have the smoke evacuation system that we're planning to incorporate into this project. You can see that after 10 minutes, the building is nearly entirely engulfed in smoke to some level. However, with the smoke evacuation system, people would be able to exit safely for a good amount of time. This goes up to 20 minutes. 20 minutes, the entire building is full of smoke.
Last week, after one of our meetings, went over to the house, and there was a major leak. It was leaking basically where Representative Ross Dirks used to sit. What was that leak, and what did you have to do?
Mr. Chairman, there was a house leak that we believe was caused by melting snow that's accumulated on the roof. There are areas around the chamber skylights where the flashing has completely deteriorating. Flashing is what keeps water from finding its way into the building, but as you all know, water finds its way, the path of least resistance, and there's some roof repairs that need to happen to keep water from infiltrating. I was a little, I was impressed by our staff that took care of it right away, replaced the ceiling tile. I noticed it. I happened to take a picture, and if you all happen to use Facebook, there is now a Capitol Square website where I did post a picture of the missing skylight or the missing ceiling tile that had fallen down and the water staining that's shown. But it's been repaired, and it looks like there isn't even an issue. The issue has not gone away, but we've made a temporary repair. Just to click through these real quickly, our Capitol, we're planning to do comprehensive repair and invasive restoration, complete replacement of infrastructure, full coverage with smoke detection, fire suppression, and smoke evacuation systems, full compliance with all code requirements, including building, mechanical, electrical, and ADA. In order to do some of that, you may be aware that in the entire Capitol building, there are literally three toilet fixtures for each men and women for the public. There are other facilities in the Capitol for building occupants, but the public, there are three fixtures, which does not meet code at all. Additionally, our elevators do not solve all the issues of the Capitol. To get from the third floor House balcony to the second floor, to the third floor Senate balcony, you can't get there from here. You have to take a couple of lifts and an elevator and go over to the other side and then go back up. This project will solve that, but as you can see on the third, second, and first level, it does take the purple, orange, and yellow areas are areas that are currently usable office space in the Capitol that no longer become usable office space because they're needed to meet building code issues. The basement, The lower level, the garden level as we're referring to it today, takes even more square footage out of the building to devote to building systems. So today there's 61,000, almost 62,000 net assignable square feet in the building. We're proposing to leave 50,000 square feet. There's a need, if you right-size everyone's offices and give them the reasonable office space, we actually need about 90,000 square feet in the building, which is a deficit of about 40,000 net assignable square feet. In December of 2012, while the Level 1 and 2 was just getting underway, Management Council issued a paper with a couple of positions that are especially relevant to how the Level 1 and 2 study proceeded. And one was that Management Council requested that the Level 1 and 2 include discussions of additional space needs of the legislature and other Capitol occupants. Management Council requests that the Level 1 and 2 study examines the possibility of expanding the building into the plaza between the Capitol and Herschler Building or other expansion options. You'll see from some slides that are upcoming what an asset the Herschler is. It was always intended to be the annex to the Capitol. If you survey the Carter Goebel Lee studies that took place in 2008, some space studies that were commissioned by the legislature, there's an appendix that shows that most state capitals have an annex or an office building that's connected in some way or another. We just hadn't really envisioned as the Herschler Building to be the addition to the Capitol, but it really is, and it's there waiting to be taken advantage of. this slide, slide number 33, shows those blue rooms or the new committee rooms that are of a reasonable size and will allow public participation in committee meetings. The darker blue or the more faded blue is session staff, chairman offices, and flexible workspace. Additionally, in the connector level, there's some space for some security, some space that doesn't have very high headrooms that are used for mechanical and storage. And then also a little further to the north in the actual Hirschler, as it's re-envisioned to accommodate Capital Club media and other functions that are directly related to session. So when we look back at the construction of the Hirschler building and how that the construction was an enormous undertaking, and we're finding some legacy issues from the construction. You can see here in this photograph that the excavation did not necessarily respect the foundations of the Hirschler, and we have some cracking in a couple of places that are due to this construction and also the construction of the tunnels that connect the systems around the Capitol. We think in one point over in the house there are some cracks that you can see that wall has actually moved about 2 inches. We don't think that it's an ongoing issue, but it is something that happened at the Capitol that we've been able to measure in the level one and two study. So a giant excavation happened to build the Hirschler building. You can see the rebar that's shown in that these men are standing on is a number 10 rebar, which is 10/8 of an inch and a quarter in diameter, 6 inches on center each way. It was a massive investment. At some places, and I'll try to, in the center of this, where phase two of the Hirschler building, which has not yet come to fruition, the concrete is 57 inches thick. It's a massive investment waiting to be taken advantage of. And that orange spot is the portion of the slab and the foundation raft slab that's still there waiting to be built on. You could literally build it out to that extent. Our designs don't fully take that on, as you'll see further. But when we were discussing this massive investment that is that raft slab, in May, the oversight group suggested that the design team, the project team, explore options to maximize the space for the addition. So between May and October, when the schematic design drawings, we studied several different options for that addition and its potential size, its impact to the neighborhood, and what just really felt right as the right size to accommodate people that won't fit back in the Capitol, and also what's the right for the site, what's right for the neighborhood. Just going back to mention that level one and two design is conceptual design, and that's where we hope we come up with a feasible schedule and budget, and the project scope is defined. But during schematic design, we develop our ideas even further, and sometimes we come through with other ideas that modify our scheme, and then we reestimate and figure out if what the overall vision for the project is, if we need to adjust our schedule and budget. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But one of those changes was learning more about what would actually fit best and be the right size addition for the Hirschler building. Talking a little bit more about changes that happen in level one and two design, here are some samples of some master planning in level one and two that have taken place over time. The first one is a master plan that shows some sort of pond or water feature on the north side of the Capitol, not a state office building, a reflecting pool down Capitol Avenue. The top right slide is shows the level one and two for the Supreme Court building in 1936 and in 1952 the Barrett building on the bottom right. This slide is of the Hathaway building. At one point they considered not closing 23rd Street and orienting the building to face 23rd. The bottom slide shows how it was actually built at level one and two in 1970. That building was constructed in 1973. Built a little too close to Capitol Avenue, in my opinion, but the bottom shows the final result. Here's a clip from the Level 1 and 2 study that started of the Hirschler building. You can see this massive diagram on the top that's circled in the red shows what could have been built. The one on the right shows what was actually built. So you can see through the Level 1 and 2 design period to level through level three, things sometimes change to the betterment of the project. So here are some drawings that show phase two of the Hirschler building that was intended to be a seven-story library addition. It's the green triangle is the extent of the addition, but it's actually possible to build it out additionally, as I described earlier. This is the lower level of the Hirschler that shows the expanse of the entire RAF slab that it could be taken advantage of, and which we are taking advantage of for the committee rooms and such in the connector expansion. There's a section that shows the seven-story addition of library. Covered these already. This is the approximate shape of the Hirschler addition that we believe is the right size to maximize and have efficient office space in the Hirschler addition. This is what was proposed and estimated when the project went in front of the legislature last year. At that time, and in the Level 1 and 2 document, was an amortization using the logic that if you took that square footage and you moved folks that were in lease space into the state-owned space, that over time this project would pay for itself in 12 years. And over 40 years, you would be $54 million ahead. Looking at the Hirschler addition with the new size, it still pays for itself in the 12 years, and over 40 years, you're $70 million ahead. So, in essence, we added 18,000 net assignable square feet or 21,000 gross square feet to this project, which, just doing a basic square footage calculation, $228 a square foot, I think, is what it works out to be. It hits our budget at $4.8 million.
Just to point out that as we were going through this with the task force, it seemed logical to maximize the space that we could utilize for the cost, and the net return back to us over a period of time is that much greater. So that's why you see the square addition in there now. Task force consensus is that's a better appropriate use. You get better use of office space, and you do gain 18,000 something net assignable square feet, which also then makes that space more utilitarian. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. If I remember the figures correctly, that addition doesn't account for all of the lease space that we have in Cheyenne right now. Is that the case? And if so, why? Would it make sense to build it up further even?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly, no, it does not account for all of the square footage. I don't think that even if we wanted to go seven stories to the full extent of the RAF slab, which might be exceeding the engineering, that we would be able to fit all of that square footage onto this site. So I do think it's likely that at some point, if we desire to alleviate the lease burden entirely, that an additional building will be needed.
Mr. Chairman, just working off Representative Connolly's question, so this additional 18,000 subtracts from that 250,000 that's out there, 260, whatever that number you said, Mel.
So actually,
is that correct, or is there even more in that taken out?
Well, what it does is that in the original level one, level two, it did not contemplate that additional space. So there is an additional $4.8 million that isn't built into the 259 that would need to be considered.
Okay, let me rephrase. I didn't ask a very good question. So when we're finished with this, building it just like you're seeing there in that diagram, how much square footage then is going to be left out in lease in the city of Cheyenne? We're 260, I think you said, Mel, or 270, whatever that was 10 minutes ago. Is it 260 minus 18, or is it even a little more now? I don't want to get down the weeds on this, but just trying to give us a...
Mr. Chairman, it's somewhere around 280,000 square feet is what we have out in lease space now, minus that 18,000. And I think if you look at right-sizing the Herschler, including the addition, we will gain some additional space inside of the Herschler where we can pull some lease space back into the building. I can't give you a firm number on that at this time, but we anticipate we'll be able to do that.
Mr. Chairman, also you need to take into consideration that of that lease space that is out in Cheyenne, some of it has federal component to it, and so when we talk about saving, we're talking about saving to the general fund, and normally what you would want to do is you'd want to move the general fund agencies that don't have any federal funds attached to it back in first before you do those lease bases with federal dollars attached to it also.
Thanks. So just so I could summarize, I'd be safe to say it's going to be 280, our current 280 minus the 18 plus. And we'll know what that's going to be, a little more than 18 then. That's safe to say that then? We're going to pick up at least 18 plus.
With the addition, Mr. Chairman.
With this addition.
With the enhanced size, you pick up 18,000, but you're, with the whole building itself, there's an additional, 40-some thousand square feet that we pick up?
About 60.
Right.
Okay, that's where I'm at.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
But wouldn't it be fair then to also take into account that we're going to lose, it looked like, 11,000 square feet in the Capitol itself?
That is a valid point.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Is that a net out? Suzanne?
Those were nets.
Huh?
Mr. Chairman, those were net numbers.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the total cost of the North Herschler, what would that be?
Mr. Chairman, our initial budget number for the Herschler component, which also includes the new central utility plant, the connector expansion, and the addition, our target budget is $82-86 million.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, it also includes tenant improvement, some carpet, ceilings, lights, in the existing facility, in the existing building, which have not been updated since it was built. These two slides show aerials of how that addition looks aerial, and this is a view looking down south along Capitol Avenue. What's striking in this rendering is that it looks very similar to that, even at that same location today. So the impact to the neighborhood is positive. So again, level 1, 2, and 3 design, we're in schematic design. This is where we choose our scheme. This is where we choose what we want to do. If we need to adjust our goals and budget, we do that right now. Now talking about the Herschler deferred maintenance and design deficiencies of the existing Herschler building. When we were beginning the project, we began to notice the stone on the Herschler building has some issues. In the executive summary, which we printed 19 copies and distributed to all of you, on page 4, in hindsight, this wasn't delivered in the most explicit way, but these walls have indications of leaks and require review to determine if the leaks are creating problems within the wall, whereas this seems likely the item is open. Well, we did not know what to estimate last February. We commissioned some building engineers to take a look inside the walls so they could tell us more explicitly what was going on. And that final report wasn't actually published until August of this year. So it's a process that, as we go along in design, it's something we discovered after you all had the opportunity to look at Senate Enrolled Act 43. At one of the oversight group meetings, we were pressed to throw a number at it, and we felt that that would be irresponsible because we really didn't know. But all along, we were looking at what if, how do we change if we have to replace the skin on the Herschler to address these issues, what does it look like? So there's some communication that seemed confusing at the time, but here I'm getting towards the fact that in Senate and Rolled Act 43, we did not provide a number to address these issues that we do find we should address at this time. Here's a picture of the Herschler building, and if you look at the top right, you can just notice some staining on the stone. The picture on the right here is of the north side of the Herschler on a clear blue sky day. The wall is crying. One of the design deficiencies of these stone walls is that in any masonry construction, you always, where water comes in, you need to let it get out. There are no weep holes in the building, in the building design, and the wall design to let that happen. So here on the left, you can see there's an issue above that orange line of water in the walls. Additionally, in 2011, I believe we bid a project to reset the glazing in the building. You have the windows were installed with wood setting blocks, which have deteriorated over time and allowed the windows to move, and therefore, I believe this might be the fourth floor. The state engineer's office sometimes has their papers blowing in the wind through these gaps. We had a project to fix that. We estimated in major maintenance to be about $150,000. We designed it, we bid it, and it came in at $250,000. And that's just a resetting existing materials. It's not replacement of the windows, which may be a better solution. We have a sealant that's failing in the windows. We have sealant that's failing along the windows and the stone. The dimensions are here, 1.25 by 3/8 of an inch for this opening in the sealant. These are large enough to put credit cards through. This is a ballpoint pen. These are deferred maintenance issues that are allowing water into the wall. But additionally, we have some design deficiencies. When you look at the Herschler, you see these large C-shaped channels that are hung on structural steel. These C-shaped channels have minimal insulation inside them. And as you can imagine, in Wyoming, it gets pretty cold. And without insulation and vapor barriers, condensation happens inside these C-channels, which then causes corrosion. This is the extent of the insulation. If you go back, this is an angled bracket that you can see in the next photo. It's right here. So very minimal insulation, and it's causing condensation in the walls, which then allows water to get in the building and try to find its way out somehow. While it's in the wall, it sets on steel and corrodes the steel. We don't believe it's imminently dangerous at this time, but corrosion, once it gets started, it moves along at a faster clip than it takes to get started. This is a parapet on the recent roof replacement that we notice a gap in the flashing that also allows water to get into the walls. Yeah, more corrosion. So here's what the Herschler building looks like existing. Through this development of knowing about these issues and understanding that this is really something we should address, we've taken a look at changing the facade in a variety of ways. And again, these are brainstorms at this point. We haven't decided on what materials or what this actually looks like. But at this point, we find that our budget didn't take this into account, and we need to decide now if this is something we want to address. Additionally, the temporary space planning in our level 1 and 2 design, we thought quite a while ago we made a very smart decision to vacate the Capitol while the construction happened. When we wrote the level 1 and 2 study, we thought we would move their space in the Herschler building. We could move legislature and Capitol occupants to the Herschler building. Well, moving all of those folks to a construction site as we move along in the progress doesn't seem like a good idea. And so we've changed a 10% vacancy in the Herschler, doing one wing, one floor at a time, to doing half of the Herschler and the addition in the first phase, and then second phase, the west wing. That impacts our temporary space needs. We've scoured the city, looked at many different places on how we would be able to accommodate that temporary space. In December, we presented this list, potential list, to the oversight group. shows that we're $5.1 million over what we thought we would spend on temporary space.
Co-chair, thank you. Just a question. I'm looking on the document there. Does it say when you vacate half of the Herschler, how much space is that? How much square feet do we have to rent? Did I ask that question clearly? I can't.
Mr. Chairman, on slide 90, I have a current summary of the plan simplified that shows us leasing just under 140,000 square feet.
So, okay, so we'll vacate about roughly 140 at a time, half and
well,
half.
Well, that also includes the capital.
Oh, sure. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, slide 89 shows the detail that was in that information presented at the December 9th oversight group. Since then, it's become a little more simplified. The math on these don't exactly work out, especially on the Jonah Financial Center, because lease tenant improvements and a leasehold option are also included that in that number. The base lease rate will be $16 a square foot, but that number over on the right does includes additional costs. The other three properties there have not yet been negotiated, and the tenant improvement is also not known what the building, what we'll be able to insist the building owner take care of to accommodate us, and what we might be expected to negotiate. At this point in the project, I'm going to turn it over to Dennis Egge.
Mr. Chairman, Dennis Egge, ANI Construction Management. Senate Rolled Act 43, we had an initial budget broke out, which included the construction costs, temporary space, furniture, fixtures, equipment fees, and owner contingency. Of that pot of money, if you will, I'm currently working with the construction costs with HDR&J, Dunn, our construction manager. And, of course, the fees are what we consider soft costs. They're permits, tap fees, moving expenses, a variety of things that we as owners have to pay that's outside J. Dunn's contract.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question?
Representative Moniz.
I understand you've already started are doing rehab on the other buildings in the city to get ready to move folks out of the Herschler. Where does it show up on slide 90? Where are they going to be?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, slide 90 shows the Jonah Financial Center is for legislature, and that's 194 LSO staff, legislature Senate staff, that would be located there. The other three properties, 2020 Cary is where the three electeds that are currently located in the Capitol will hopefully move to 2020 Cary. Workforce Services is in the east wing of the Herschler building, and there's a property that a building owner is willing to build to suit with no tenant improvement on our part that fits that agency very well. And then 200 West 27th Street is at Capitol and 17th. That's an old Penny's building that Cheyenne Regional Medical Center is currently occupied. They're about to move out, and that building owner DEQ might be a nice fit for that, and they've taken a look at it. We're going to try to fit them in there, negotiating what sort of improvements might need to happen.
Well, you have started improving some of the property that you're moving into.
Mr. Chairman, at today's oversight group meeting, we will be requesting approval for the Jonah Financial Center lease. Once that agreement is executed, we'll be able to start improvements, but the rest are still in planning and negotiation.
I just had a conversation with some employees this morning that told me
use your mic.
I had a conversation with some employees this morning that said that you'd already gutted some building and was where is it at?
Mr. Chairman, in 2013, June, I think, of 2013, we purchased the Capitol Hill building, which is also known as the former Delta Dental building. at 25th and Pioneer. It's a three-story small floor plate building in which fire prevention and electrical safety will move to the third floor. Second floor will be victim services, Attorney General Victim Services. First floor will be Governor's Council on Developmental Disabilities and AG School Finance. Those will move out of the Hirschler Building to that space, and that is a separate project that was already funded.
Senator Burns.
Are those permanent moves?
Mr. Chairman, we believe so. The agencies are pretty enthusiastic about the new location, their proximity to many of them are AG, and they, fire prevention and electrical safety likes that the parking will be more convenient for their frequent walk-in traffic.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is that the Delta Dental, is that the site that you did one level two on for an office building? Is that site? I know the Safeway site's a little farther to the west.
Mr. Chairman, we haven't ever done a level one and two on that property. It's an existing building.
Yeah, I know the building. I just was kind of confused when earlier in your slides where there was obviously the St. Mary's site, and then you had another site that you were looking at for a state office building that we were looking at.
The Pioneer Safeway site is directly west of the Delta Dental building.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let me just say something about Dennis. I've been around this Capitol a lot. Dennis is around here 24/7. And he's basically moved his office over to the Hirschler Building in conjunction with HGR and our CMIR, J.E. Dunn. But anytime there's a call, anytime he calls me up and says, come over and look at this. And I've seen some of the stuff that he is boots on the ground 24/7, and I just would like to thank you for your efforts in that regard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The request that we put in for the additional $27.7 million that's shown on this slide is a variety of four items. Temporary space is driven from the fact that we've got to get staff out of the Hirschler Building when we're doing this. It's going to be very difficult because of the condition of the building. Suzanne has done an excellent job negotiating good agreements, good leases, and this is something that we really need to look at doing. A lot for safety, too. I mean, we don't want people in a construction zone when we're trying to do this work. The deferred maintenance I'm going to talk about a little farther on in some other slides. The additional square footage, as Suzanne alluded to earlier in one of the slides, is something that we really think is a positive in this project right now. And then project soft costs. This is something that, again, because we have more moves, we're relocating into different locations, we have more additional moving costs. We've spent the better part of the last 2 weeks working with the utility companies local, Cheyenne Power and Light, Quest, trying to get a handle on what our utility costs are going to be. We have new taps, new water lines coming into buildings and things. So we know there's going to be some costs there. And then the big one that kind of caught us as a surprise, because we thought there was more abatement work done on the Capitol previously in the remodels. And when I talk about abatement, it's both asbestos, lead paint, and hazardous material. And they've discovered a lot of that in the building. So we know we're going to have more of that. We have some budget numbers right now that have been upped a little bit in this $3 million just because we're not sure what we're getting into on that. Okay, so we're going to go into the Hirschler Gallery and Central Utility Plant. Right now we are kind of work in progress, if you will, on the Capitol. We don't have a final SD number from the construction manager. We've been working this week with the design team that was in town, and as an owner, I've challenged them on some things that I think we can save some funds on by doing some things different. So we're still working through that. We expect by next Wednesday or so we're going to have that number pinned down also. The next slide, I just to kind of give everybody a better understanding how this process works, this line, if you will, that's showing on the screen is what I refer to as our benchmark. That's $199 million for the whole project. That's my benchmark. That's my starting line. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see on 12-9, we got the initial SD number from J.E. Dunn, and it was trending upward. And we expected that. And SD, everybody previously on HDR's side has been working in a vacuum. The construction manager for the first time has seen the drawings. He hasn't been involved in all the meetings previously. So they're giving us their best estimate, best guess at that time, what they really believe the project's going to cost. When we move forward, we know that if that trend was to continue with the capital, we would be way out of line on our overall budget. So as an owner, I go back and I challenge the construction manager, the design team, and we look at what we can do to bring that back down. And basically, if you spend any time around when I'm in the capital or working with the team, the bottom line is no, we don't have any additional fund unless this committee and the task force and the oversight direct us to it. We're set with that number of $199 million. So we have to look at why it's going over, what we can do to correct it. When we sit down and look at the correcting and the alignment on this, we're basically working with a budget number that was given in level one, level two, and we have two sets of estimates. We have an estimate from HDR and their estimating team. We also have one from J.E. Dunn. So when we start looking at alignment, we sit down and we look at all three of those and try to determine where that cost is, why we're having the overruns, why that number is climbing above the $199 million. I also take a look at J.E. Dunn's line by line. I go through that estimate line by line and look at things that just seem skewed, that doesn't seem that we really need or doesn't make a lot of sense. And we come back together and we sit down and we try to balance this out. On the Hertzler, it was very obvious that the alignment and the overall problem was the fact that we added more square footage, and we'll see that later on, and the deferred maintenance. So what we've started now is working with the Hertzler and trying to trend that down. We know that we have some areas that we're going to save as we move forward, but we also know that if we want to do the exterior skin, which I think is needed, and I think the square footage is a very good value for the state, we're going to need additional funding to do that. There is no way that we can keep those two items in the $199 million. It was never part of the original package. And then as we move forward, this is going to be a work in progress. We're going to hear days where the budget is up. Some days it's down. We just have to keep working through it. We go to the next step with DD drawings, design development drawings, and then eventually into construction documents. This is a work in progress. We're going to be locked in with a set budget with the construction manager very shortly. But when he takes that project out to bid by our contract, if there's a savings in a certain category, such as plumbing, that money comes back to us, and that helps our contingency. It helps fund other parts of the project that are deficient at the time. So it's a work in progress. This isn't going to be decided today or 6 months from now. It's going to be an ongoing process. Eventually we'll have a number locked in, but we always know that there's going to be movement in the budget.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is probably a good place to ask the question I want to ask. So in the original 259 that we talked about a year ago, what was the percentage or the amount of the contingency?
29.
In that 259? That's 20 million. So that's whatever percentage that was.
20%?
So, which is a healthy contingency. So now that we've done this other stuff, ultimately we've narrowed that down. Are we able to reduce the contingencies as we move forward so that the contingencies come down in what we might consider as more of a kind of a normal range?
Or would the contingency always remain the same?
Yes?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Perkins, Senator Perkins, at this point in time, we can't move the contingency. We have too many unknowns, especially in the Capitol.
I know. Mr. Chairman, what I'm trying to get to is I'm not asking about that now, but as we move towards this thing, what long and short of it is this, is we've got $27.7 million now. And I know you can't look in your crystal ball, but I'm trying to figure out, Mr. Chairman, as we move forward, is how does this not turn into, so we're at 259 plus another 30, so we're at 289 roughly. I mean, at some point, this tops out over 3. I mean, at some point, the legislature, at least for me, I'm really going to have a trouble moving forward with the object that this is going to be a blank check, and I don't think I'm alone in that. And so as we look at that, I'm looking for, we move forward, but if we had a 20% contingency, at some point the contingency doesn't need to be 20%, so there's some netting there. But I'm just trying to figure out, as we move forward, at some point it becomes too much.
Dennis?
Is it 10%? Correction, it's 10% on the contingency. To answer your question, the contingency is adjusted as we lower the risk, if you will, for the state. So once we get a GMP from the construction manager, guaranteed maximum price, agreed to the budget, and we intend to do what we call more probes in the Capitol early March, April this year prior to construction starting. As we start looking at lessening the risk that the owner will be taking, then we will start lowering that contingency amount, and it will continually go down. It will also be refunded, as I discussed, with some of the savings from bidding, things that we find. And as we go farther into this, I will show you right now we're already trending down on some of these items. So as we do that, we can adjust that contingency.
Mr. Co-Chair.
And maybe you said it, Dennis, and I didn't hear it. So when are we going to get the guaranteed maximum price?
We're anticipating that we're going to get a guaranteed maximum price early June or July.
Early June or July.
Yes.
And then just for my knowledge now, so when that happens, and you said there'll be this movement, and you'll be some value engineering. I mean, these, you could knock these down then some when we get that GMP, or I guess what can we expect when we leave here in March? We're going to have all this we're going to read about in the paper. So how's it going to go out?
I think let's continue on with the slides, and
okay.
I can kind of show you, if you don't mind, how we're kind of trending right now.
Zan, you had.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, Representative Harshman, I'd also like to assert that schematic design is where we is the end of scope changes. We won't be growing anything. We won't be deciding to build something that we're not already planning. The scope changes are over unless we'll still need contingency to address things that are unknown, say if we find a wall that's not structurally sound that might need more underpinning or more correction or bracing than we thought of, but at that point. But there will be no additional scope changes discovered by the design team or construction management.
Sure. Mr. Co-Chair, thank you. And I think Dennis is saying it's coming next, and I don't want to get ahead of the presentation, but we're going to read about it in the paper just so we want to know kind of, and I think you're going to clue us in on that. So thank you.
So the Hurstler, we are, for budget purposes, we're working with $84 million right now. In the Hurstler package, we do have $2 million that was allotted for or given for major maintenance quite a while ago. We have $2 million in there. That was for carpet, for glazing. I'm not really using that money. I'm kind of saving that for the contingency right now. I don't want to put that into the pot with the 84. So we're still working with the 84 million. And if you look at the next slide here, we have the budget at 84. When we got the number from Jay done and we kind of collaborated with HDR, and we believe that $116,590,000 was the total budget that we were starting with on December 2nd. We've gone back twice, and we have basically scrubbed that number, taking it down to 103,745,440. By doing that, we know that we have a deficiency of 19,745,440, and we can prove that by the fact that we didn't have the square footage in there, and we've priced out the major maintenance items, the store, the exterior skin, the glazing, the carpet, those type of items. So if they were funded today, we're only actually $145,440 off our budget. So we're getting really close. And that was as of December 2nd. Again, we took another scrub. We met with task force, asked for some advisory moves that we could make as far as deducting additional items. And we took another $8,305,328 out of the project. So right now, originally when we were talking about the $14 million up front, we're basically down right now to $11,440,000. So we're trending down right now, which we wanted, you know. Is that going to stay that way? We may find where we're going to have to bump it up again. But we've got the team working where we're trending down, and that's where we want to be. The next couple slides, when we start collaborating and working together, we are throwing everything out there that's outside what our directive has been from the task force. So things that the architect has just put in the project, things that for the state probably don't make sense. We start looking at that and advising the task force on these items can be taken out, and under their direction, we look at what we can do on that to keep trending it down. And these are just a series of different numbers that we've looked at. Some don't make sense, some do. And some of it, we also have to keep long-range plans in mind, too. I mean, we can't move our central utility plant over to the St. Mary's lot because that's too big of a rock. We can't use that space. It's still more valuable to put it in where it's at today. So these are the different costs that we work through on it. I'm going to go through this just kind of quick to save some. And then we've also, working with the construction manager, we look at different items such as a wall change. We have basically six items in there that we could look at as deletion. Probably the one that's the most strongest right now is we may not replace the stone. We have a stonemason that's going to be working on the Capitol. It may be more cost feasible to go in and basically just repair the stone that's there and clean it up. And that's part of what HDR is looking at as far as the design team, if things like that make sense. We try to, you know, we look at everything. I mean, we looked at reducing the square footage by removing the fourth floor. Does that make sense? No, it really doesn't, but it's out there. We wanted to present everything we could to the task force to help them understand the different options that are available if we were to need to reduce costs or reducing costs. You know, the other option we have is things like the addition, what we call aligning with the grid system and the existing foundation piers and caissons. The supports in the parking garage, we could adjust that building slightly, and that would save us $4 million. But it affects our gross square foot and our net square footage, so we're not going to do that. But these are things that we're looking at, just to give you an idea of the extent that we're pursuing on this right now. Another option that we do quite a bit, we see done quite a bit, is not to finish the fourth floor. You know, what if we leave that off? But again, that's affecting really our net square footage and what we can move back into the space out of lease space and how we use it. The other one that we still have that I think both Suzanne and I agree that it's probably a real good option if the task force agrees, and that is to leave the existing atrium in the Hersler building. I think it gives it more of a prestige look. It's about a $4 million savings.
No.
I don't think it'll look.
Okay. I thought I misunderstood.
I'm not going to get. We've had some debate over this already,
yeah.
and I don't think the task force is there, let alone myself. But
we one of the challenges too is we've had is agencies we were asked to look at if they could stay in the. In the Hersler building during construction, if there was a way to phase it, it really does not look feasible. It really becomes complicated as far as the number moves and keep moving staff around and keeping them out of the construction area. So that's kind of the initial budget look, and then we're also looking, as we're putting the budget together, the schedule. This schedule was prepared early on. It really didn't address all the items. It was kind of prepared without knowing. Again, we're doing it in the level one, level two, so there wasn't an adequate time for move in, move out of the Capitol or the Hersler. I mean, if you stop and think of this building alone, it's about a 3 or 4 month process to get everybody moved out. So there were some items missed. The abatement is going to take more time in this building. That's a given. We didn't know that in the beginning, so that adds some time. Working through this process with the committees, with the city, I think we believe it's going to take a little bit more time to get all the necessary approvals. Gary Dunn has added some time for that. The other thing that I believe real strongly in is that we don't want to get this project done, especially the Capitol, and say, okay, we're going to have session in here in 2 weeks and move in. We need some time to do a shakedown, let LSO get all their equipment moved back in, get the building up and functional and get it operating correctly before we start session. So if you look at the next schedule, that's why it's gotten pushed out to three sessions. It just makes sense. But we continually keep working on the schedule. Anywhere that we can pick up some time, but it's important right now today to know where we're moving everybody. That's decision one, because our schedule is really dictated about getting everybody out of the building in a proper time. The other thing that is very critical right now is to hopefully walk away with some type of decision, whether we do the exterior skin on the Hersler or the added square footage, because right now I can't go beyond schematics into design development till we know and give our design team and our construction manager some direction. Okay.
Peter Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you know how much we've appropriated already towards this project?
Well, it's been a moving target because we started out with about $110 million, I believe it was. We have expended some monies, but we also appropriated last year, I believe, or is it? Did we appropriate last year $37.5 million? Or I think we appropriated $37.5 million on top of that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you're right that there was a little of in excess of $100 million already saved, and the way Senate Enrolled Act 43 was written was to set aside an additional $37.7 million per year. In 2012 through 2014, I believe our expenditures were about $7.4 million. So the total, though, for Senate Enrolled Act was $259 million.
And, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Follow-up. I guess I have some issues with the plan, but Sounds like the train has already left the tracks. But one of the things that we did, at least in Campbell County, is the problem is what do you do with the employees in the building when you're getting ready for construction? And so what we did with four different schools is we built a school to replace that school that was going to be torn down. Was there any thought towards actually building a separate building somewhere else, moving everybody there, and then coming back and doing the whole project?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wasserberger, at the very beginning of the presentation, I went through an exhaustive list of efforts that we have attempted over time in 2008 and 2012. First, in 2008, we wanted to build an executive office building on St. Mary's directly east of the Capitol. That was funded by the legislature for design, $4.4 million, and taken away by Governor Freudenthal in budget reductions that were necessary because of revenues. Then after that, we acquired the Pioneer Safeway property, which is two blocks away and is almost all of two city blocks and the vacated street in between the two blocks. Did a level one and two study published in, I believe, February of 2012, funded by the legislature, $4.4 million for design, and then revoked by Governor Mead in July of that year.
So to answer your question, Senator, the original plan was to build a state office building, which would be utilized not only by the legislature and the occupants of the Capitol, but others as swing space and then be occupied by state employees while after the Capitol had been renovated. That was taken off the table, as I mentioned, with a veto, a line item veto by the governor. So we never got past level one and two. We did level one and two study on that Capitol office complex, a building, and we're never able to go to level three, which is the actual schematic designs. So unfortunately, we lost several years in that whole deal too. So that's where we're at. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your level one and level two, did you come up with a final dollar for what that building would cost, or that wasn't a part of your study?
Yeah, we had what was it? It was $100 million, basically, somewhere in there.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wasserberger, the property, St. Mary's property, was estimated in 2010 to be $75.2 million construction cost. Not total project cost. Escalated to today's construction dollars, it would be $92.4 million. And in February 2012, the Pioneer building, if you maximize that site and provide 250,000 net assignable square feet, $96.5 million, escalated another year, just under $100 million construction cost.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On slide 122 on the schedule, Dennis or Suzanne or Mel, whoever, just something that we've talked about as legislators, and I'm just looking at the timeline on 122, the kind of newest timeline, and at the bottom on the Capitol piece where it finishes renovation on, you actually got around June of that year, and then the move is from June to August. Is that how I'm reading that?
Mr. Chairman, it is. That is correct.
And so my question really is, you know, we could, and whether, Mr. Chairman, you'd know this, whether, you know, if you finish a couple months earlier than that, you move a little earlier, maybe we can move that 18 session back a few months. I don't know if that, I'm sure you talked about it in your task force. We've talked about it.
We haven't. Sorry to interrupt. We haven't talked about it necessarily in the task force, but there was some discussion, and I've received a memo today that I even haven't had a chance to see, but it is entirely possible that we could move back the budget session. Most likely it'd have to convene in May is the latest we could do it, rather than February or whatever, but it is entirely possible. We'd have to do a rule change, it looks like, a joint rule. But it is possible that we could move the budget session into May if that would accommodate the move, but we don't know that yet, or if we don't know it accommodates the construction or whatnot. But that is a possibility, and we have a legal opinion on that from my LSO today that I just received. I haven't even had a chance to read it.
Mr. Chairman, so just one last question. So we have, right now, we've already appropriated, was it $110 million towards this?
140.
So, and we're still up for 260. So we're down the road, we're going to spend $120 million and 37 million increments until it's paid off.
That's the plan.
And I think we need to be aware of that as we hear our Craig report.
I appreciate your comment. It's just like we did for your Gillette Madison project. Okay. Go ahead. Are we done? Okay. Questions? Any questions, committee? Okay. Well, we appreciate your succinct proposal. Sorry that the Senate was late, but we have to go back in and gavel in at 2. For everybody's edification, Oversight will be meeting at 4 today to consider lease options and further considerations concerning this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just so I'm clear on that, which committee is meeting at 4?
The Oversight Committee.
The Capital Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
I thought there was an Appropriations Committee meeting upon adjournment.
Yeah, well, there could have been if there was callbacks, but there's no callbacks.
So there's anymore. No meeting upon adjournment?
No callbacks that I know of. Okay. Mr. Co-Chair, and that's what I was going to ask. And before we leave, JAC, is Mr. Chairman, we are meeting again as a JAC tomorrow at 8. Is that our next meeting?
That is correct.
On the Craig report. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We hear Craig report at 8.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.